We're live and we're local. This is a Juno afternoon on Wednesday, December 20th, Solstice Eve. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. On today's show, we'll talk with Steve Kosis about next week's planetarium show, Christmas in Space. Gigi Monroe will be here to highlight this weekend's Jingle Balls Drag Stavaganza. And Dan Hayberger and Terry Tibbett will be here to talk about the Reentry Coalition's holiday open house, and we'll get our weekly update on Eagle Crest activities. Those interviews, national native news, bird note music, and more right here on a Juno afternoon. Taking a look at weather for the rest of today, rain and snow, new accumulation around 1 inch. Tonight, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-20s, and tomorrow, clear with a high around 30. National native news is next.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A group of Democratic members of Congress say the Republican tax plan hurts Indian country and ignores the needs of tribes. They say the federal tax code does not recognize sovereignty of tribal governments, resulting in tribes not enjoying the same benefits as state and local governments. 38 members of Congress recently wrote a letter to Republican leadership urging them to include provisions for Indian country in the bill to address parity, credits, and exemptions. Congressman Dan Kildee of Michigan says the tax bill, which passed this week, is disappointing. He says it does not include any of their requests to aid tribes.
In fact, it cut out one piece that would have been beneficial to Indian country from the previous House tax bill, and that's the ability of individuals in the Indian Health Service Loan Repayment Program to deduct their payments from income for the purpose of taxation. Instead of including tribes in the tax bill, the Republican leadership told tribes that yet again, they must wait for some future moment to work on tax reform. That's completely unacceptable.
Congresswoman Norma Torres from California says the $1.5 trillion tax reform bill represents a broken promise to Native Americans.
Indian country lags far behind the rest of America in terms of economic development opportunities, educational attainment rates, and too many tribal communities are plagued with violence, drug addiction, and other chronic health ailments. Our role as trustees, it is our responsibility to ensure tribal governments have the tools they need to bring their communities out of these terrible conditions. The passage of this tax reform legislation was a once-in-a-generation opportunity that failed to meet the basic principles and our basic promises to the first people of this great country.
The Senate approved the tax code overnight, but the House will have to vote again due to a snag. The White House hopes President Trump will sign the bill before Christmas. The Interior Department prohibited new uranium mining claims on 1 million acres surrounding Grand Canyon National Park in 2012. Tribes are concerned about the Trump administration favoring development. Arizona Public Radio's Ryan Heinches reports.
The 20-year restriction was designed to protect the Grand Canyon's environment and watershed. But the U.S. Forest Service recommended ending the ban last month following President Trump's executive order to explore ways of increasing energy production on public lands. The House Natural Resources Committee recently held a hearing on whether to reverse the ban. Havasupai Councilwoman Carletta Tolusi testified it was crucial and protects the tribe from possible negative health effects of mining. She worries expanding exploration in the area would pollute the tribe's drinking water and increase rates of cancer.
There's life there, and I think that is being totally ignored. You know, there's Havasupai people that live in the canyon, and our lives need to be protected, and our lives matter, too. We are very scared and terrified because we don't have any place to go after that.
Katie Sweeney from the National Mining Association, however, testified the uranium ban wasn't justified by scientific evidence, and sufficient protections already exist for the Grand Canyon. She also said mining in the area would leave a relatively small environmental footprint. The Interior Department's original moratorium on new claims was upheld by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals last week. For National Native News, I'm Ryan Heinches in Flagstaff, Arizona.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Quantic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by City University of New York's Graduate School of Journalism's MA in Social Journalism, rethinking journalism as a community service. Application deadline is January 5th at journalism.cuny.edu.
Yate support by the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce Convention and Tourism Department, providing complete convention and visitor planning services to Native American conventions. Information on convention and tourism services at siabq.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. My first guest today is Steve Kosas, here representing the Marie Drake Planetarium. Welcome back to the show, Steve.
Thank you, Shelley. This is Steve.
Thanks for being here.
Sure.
Steve, you're here today to tell us about a show at the Planetarium coming up on Tuesday. But before we get to that, can you give us an update on what's happening in space this week? Anything new or exciting?
Well, the most interesting story in space is the detection of gravitational waves. And gravitational waves were predicted by Einstein way back in 1918. And it's just recently that his prediction has been confirmed. So another feather in the cap for general relativity.
That's great. How many feathers is that now?
Well, it's passed all the tests. Gravitational waves are caused when extremely, extremely, extremely dense objects like neutron stars or black holes merge into one another, and they actually cause ripples in space-time. Those ripples move basically at the speed of light, and they've been detected now with the LIGO system, the Laser Interferometry Gravitational Observatory here on Earth. There's a proposal to put these gravitational wave observatories in space with three satellites, so it would be separated by millions of kilometers, but the budgeting for that is still being prepared.
What are your thoughts about the news? I believe there was a story last week about U.S. going back to the moon.
Well, yeah, there was I know a speech by the president on going back to the moon as a stepping stone to Mars, and also to have a more permanent station on the moon for astronomical observations. I think that'll be a great thing in my view. Of course, there's many problems on the Earth, poverty and immigration and other issues, but I think advancing science is an important event to support. I haven't seen any budget figures on that, but it is an important aspiration.
We'll stay tuned on that one.
Sure.
And then speaking of the moon, there's one more event that you wanted to touch on.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a total lunar eclipse next month. It'll be full moon. And lunar eclipses are always during a full moon, solar eclipses always during a new moon. So this would be the full moon in January, and the dates escape me right now. It would be next full moon in January. It would be a lunar eclipse. It will be visible here in Alaska.
If we have a clear night.
Well, true.
Yeah.
But I'm always hopeful.
Yeah, it seems like the skies tend to clear.
In fact, let me just say, the last clear night we had, the northern lights were visible. There's a couple websites you can access to get forecasts for the northern lights. I usually use the University of Alaska Fairbanks website. You just type in Aurora Forecast, and it'll show the Fairbanks website and the Space Weather website, and there's a NOAA website that does a forecast for Northern Lights. So I know we're forecast to have a clear night tomorrow night, so it'll be another opportunity to check for if there's a forecast for the Northern Lights.
And tomorrow night is the longest night of the year, so it's a good time to go out and hunt for lights.
Yes, solstice will be 07:28 Alaska time, so in the morning.
Excellent. All right, Steve, thank you for those new space news updates.
Sure.
Now, back to the planetarium. What is your role there, for those who don't know?
Well, we have a nonprofit that runs the planetarium, the Friends of Marie Drake Planetarium, and I'm the secretary on the board. Our president is Christina De La Rosa, and I help doing shows there. And currently, we're having a fund drive now to purchase a new projector for the planetarium. Our current projector is analog. It's been working for 50 years, but we were looking at now to have a backup projector. We want to get a digital one because it has more versatility than the current analog projector, which still works, made in the USA, made in Pennsylvania. Spitz Company made our projector. It was installed 50 years ago.
It's lasted all this time.
It has. Our board members have technical backgrounds, so we've had some minor problems, but we've always been able to fix them so far.
They don't make them like they used to, huh?
Well, the analog projectors can have better imagery than the digital projectors, but the digital projectors, since they are software, hardware driven, we can have a lot more versatility with a digital projector.
Can you give me an example of what might be different about using a digital projector?
Well, yeah, of course. With the current analog projector, it's what's called Earth-centered. So we only see the stars and planets as seen from Earth. But with a digital projector, it's database-centered. So you can see the view from any location that's saved in the database. In other words, you can see our star system is seen from the nearest star, Alpha Centauri, or see what the stars and planets look like from Jupiter, or anywhere that's saved in the database. You can see what view's like.
So we could sort of go to the moon and see, look back and see Earth with a digital projector?
A pale blue dot if you see it from the moon.
That's pretty exciting. So you're raising funds. How can people contribute?
Well, on our website, mariedrakeplanetarium.org, that's all one word, mariedrakeplanetarium.org, we have a PayPal, so you can pay by PayPal or a credit card, and that's right on our website, and the website also has information about our oncoming shows.
Do you have a goal or a timeline or a deadline for placing this order?
Well, no specific deadline. We hope to get the funding for a new digital projector before the current one has a fatal breakdown, which hasn't happened so far. The goal would for a kind of middle-of-the-road projector digital would be about $50,000.
Oh, my goodness. That's much more than I expected.
True.
Have you raised any funds so far?
Yes, we have.
Okay, good. So made a small dent.
We have about 10% in that in our treasury so far.
Okay, great. So there's some room to go.
Yes.
All right. Well, one example of the wonderful things you do with the current projector is put on shows like the one coming up on Tuesday, Christmas in Space. Can you tell us about it?
Yes. The day after Christmas, Tuesday, December 26th at 7 p.m., we're doing a show. It'll be more family-oriented, but it's going to be kind of a mixture of science and humor. The humor being looking at, what astronauts and aliens would be doing in space if they were orbiting the Earth or on the way to Mars on Christmas Day. And we're also going to talk about some current events in the sky, including the lunar eclipse next month.
Is there what happens in space during Christmas time?
Well, the astronauts who are in the International Space Station usually have some food they have secreted away just for Christmas. People from Britain might have Christmas pudding or spotted dick, and people from Russia would have borscht or some other traditional food from their country. So the astronauts in space typically have foods from whatever country that they originate from. Aliens, of course, that'll be part of our humor is to portray what aliens do. But it's more of a family show, but all ages are welcome, and our shows are always free.
Can Santa and his reindeer travel in space?
Well, that's an interesting question. It depends on, your view of the origin of Santa and so on. But I think Christina De La Rosa would be covering that. I usually cover the science, and Christina covers the subjects other than science, humor.
Yeah, and the Christmas magic.
Yes, exactly.
So the show is Tuesday, December 26th, 7 p.m., free for all ages and family-friendly. For those who don't know, where is the planetarium located?
Well, the planetarium is on 1415 Glacier Avenue. It's right behind the big artificial turf field there at the Harborview School. Harborview School is between the swimming pool and right towards the Fed building.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Steve, for all the information. Is there anything else you'd like to share while you're here?
Well, Shelley, just that if we have a clear night, there's always a good chance to see northern lights because we have astronomical darkness now. When the sun is more than 18 degrees above the horizon, that's defined as astronomical darkness, which we don't have in the summer. So if there is going to be a clear night, as is forecast tomorrow night, check one of the aurora forecasts. And even if the aurora forecast is showing low activity, there's still a good chance to see northern lights. So any clear night, go out to see the northern lights.
All right. Thank you. I will take that advice.
Okay, Shelley.
And for the show on Tuesday, is the website the best place to find out more information?
Yes, mariedrakeplanetarium.org.
All right. Thanks so much for being here, Steve.
And thank you, Shelley.
Santa's sled had broken down, and there would be no toys this Christmas Day. When suddenly a cry was heard, up in the sky, is that a bird? And all the children shouted, hip hooray!
Hip hooray!
Hooray for Captain Santa Claus and his reindeer space patrol. His sleigh broke down one Christmas Eve as he started from the pole. He said, those children's hearts will break if I don't make this trip. But Santa's helpers saved the day when they built a rocket ship. Then with his reindeer space cadets, he took off through the air. And not one chimney did they miss, every stocking got its share. Now children dance with glee around the tree each time they're told the tale of Captain Santa Claus and his reindeer space patrol.
Hooray for Captain Santa Claus and his reindeer space patrol. His sleigh broke down one Christmas Eve as he started from the pole.
He said those children's hearts will break if I don't make this trip. But Santa's helpers saved the day when they built a rocket ship. Then with his reindeer space cadets, he took off through the air. And not one chimney did they miss, every stocking got its share. Now children dance with glee around the tree each time they're told the tale of Captain Santa Claus and his reindeer space patrol.
Looking for that perfect holiday gift for the KTOO fan in your life? Look no further, because we have tickets to Paula Poundstone, performing this March 8th in a special show for KTOO. Paula is a regular panelist on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. She's got a new NPR podcast live from the Poundstone Institute, and she's won countless awards and honors for her many decades of outstanding comedy. Expect a night of side-splitting laughter that is not to be missed. Get your tickets at KTOO.org, the station, and the Jack.
Support comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, featuring the new flagship cafe and bakery located at 130 Front Street in downtown Juneau. More information at heritagecoffee.com.
You're tuned into a Juneau Afternoon. It's about 18 minutes after the hour, and it must be my lucky day today because my next guest is the one and only Gigi Monroe. Here in full costume and makeup. Too bad our listeners can't see you.
I know. Geez, I put all this effort in and... only you get to see it.
Oh, well, it's that radio magic. All right. Well, welcome back to the show, Gigi.
Thank
How's
you.
Your winter going so far?
It is good. I actually just got back from Mexico, so I'm in shell shock state, but it's all good. It's good.
Yeah, you missed some crappy weather, so good on you.
Hey.
All right. So you're here to talk about this weekend show, Jingle Balls Dragstravaganza. That is really fun to say.
Yes. And it is a mouthful.
It's almost as much fun as The Heels Have Eyes, which was one of my favorites, and Spanksgiving.
Yeah. You know, I really get into naming these shows. And even if it just cracks me up at the end of the day, it's totally worth it. So, yeah, we have a big show this weekend. It is our tribute to the holidays. And you know, we know that the holidays can be a little stressful, or they might be challenging for folks for various reasons. Or maybe people love them and they just want more. So we have a really fun and lighthearted take on the holidays. And, you know, what better way to celebrate than with a bunch of drag queens and kings on Christmas Eve Eve?
I love the shows. They always make me feel so good. I don't think there's any way that you could just walk out of there and not be super happy, whether you like Christmas or you hate it.
That's great to hear, because that's really all we go for. Of course, you know, everyone has their own personal motivation for why they perform. But at the end of the day, we just want to leave people smiling, feeling good about themselves, maybe humming a tune on the way home, and laughing the next day about how much fun it was.
Is this the first annual Jingle Balls show?
It's not. Actually, the very first show that I produced here was two Christmases ago, and it was 'Twas the Drag Before Christmas.
Another great name.
That was a good one. And then last year we had another one, and it was a lot of fun. And so it's just been building from there, and now we're on like a monthly schedule.
Oh, yeah.
The show is down at the Rendezvous one Saturday a month.
Oh, I'd heard about that. But this show's not at the Rendezvous.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is at the Rendezvous. Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. I guess I got my information wrong.
That's all right. It's at our drag watering hole, the Rendezvous.
What will some of the acts be like?
Well, there is a cast of 11 performers, about half and half drag kings and queens, and which is something we always love, providing that kind of variety of entertainment. And so the cast was instructed to come up with two numbers for the show. One was a holiday-ish number, and one was whatever they want. So holiday-ish means a holiday number, yes, but please add like a twist to it, you know, mm-hmm. make it something interesting or unique or, you know, so a lot of the performers have chosen to do parodies of Christmas songs that we all know and love, but, you know, a funny take on them. And, you know, a lot of them are not radio friendly to say on the air, but they are they're fun. They're lighthearted. And some of them are, you know, adult humor takes on holiday songs. So even though at this point folks may be a little tired of hearing holiday music, this is a whole new way to experience it. So that's half the show. And then the other half of the show is anything and everything that you can imagine, from the latest hit song on the radio to some classic disco tunes. We've got a really wide variety of music, everything from Dolly Parton to Bruno Mars to you know, Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga. So it's a little bit of everything, and I think it's a great mix this time.
Oh, that sounds really good. And will Gigi be performing?
Of course. I'll be hosting the show and performing. I perform. See, we do two different shows. We have an 8 o'clock and a 10 o'clock show, and they're completely different. So
oh, really?
They are no repeats at all, but it allows folks, if you can only make it to an 8 o'clock show and 9:30 is your bedtime, you can still squeeze in a show and make it home for bed. And if you work late, maybe you're in the service industry and you're working until 9:30 or 10, you can still come to the 10 o'clock show and, you know, party into the wee hours.
Will both shows feature two different songs from each performer, a holiday-ish act and a regular or whatever they want act?
Each one will perform once in each show.
Okay.
So
the first one the holiday-ish one, or is
it'll
it a
be
mix?
A mix.
Okay.
So we're going to alternate. Every other song will be holiday and then the other one. So keep it nice and mixed there. And yeah, they get a little more adult as the night goes on, but that's about the only organization of the music, just sort of what feels right to me as I make the lineup.
Can you come if you're nice or only if you're naughty?
There is room for all, and I will know which list that everyone is on. So you can't fool me.
Santa Claus,
me and Santa. I have been deputized from the North Pole, and I will be judging everyone.
Well, I think you're going to make a great elf. All right. Well, let's talk about when and where Jingle Balls is happening. We know it's at the Rendezvous.
It's at the Rendezvous Saturday night.
8 p.m. and 10 p.m. Christmas Eve.
Our doors open at 7, and our seating is limited. So if you prefer to sit for the drag shows, which some people do, make sure you come early because the seats do fill up pretty fast. And then our first show is at 8 o'clock on the dot. And then we take a little bit of a break between 9:30 and 10. Second show starts at 10, and then we're over by 11:30.
Sounds good. And where can we find out more information and tickets?
You can find out information on my Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/GigiMonroe. It's GigiMonroe. And it's just a cover at the door, so okay. There's no advance tickets. And we take cash and checks and cards. Sorry, not checks. Cash and cards. We don't trust you people. No, I'm kidding. No, we take cash, but we also take cards at the door. And we have ones for sale. So if you want to participate in the tipping of performers, which always gives you a better show, we are happy to provide those as well. And we have a little bit of a warm-up to the show this weekend. There's a group of us who have gotten together with the public library. And we're doing a drag queen story hour tomorrow night. And that is a free event that is super family friendly. It's not adult at all. We're on very good behavior. And we did one of these before last summer, and it was so much fun and really popular. So we're back to do a holiday edition. This one is at the Downtown Library, 5:30 p.m. tomorrow. And it's free, and crafts and food are provided.
Oh, I love that idea, the drag queen storytelling. Do they do that at other places around the nation?
They do, yeah. It's become quite a big thing in the last year. I think it was a library in Brooklyn, New York that started it out, and then it just caught like wildfire. Libraries and bookstores all around the country are hosting these events. And it's really fun because, you know, what's more visually stimulating to young children than, you know, a big old drag queen with sparkly things and bright colors and, you know, and then just reading really fun, you know, favorite books that the kids love. It just helps to bridge this really cool kind of relationship that, you know, drag acts are usually in bars, and we don't get to go out and play with children very often. So, you know, it's this cool thing. And then a lot of parents come to our shows and can't bring their kids. And, you know, so it's a way for them to show their kids what they like to do. And it's just a lot of fun.
I think it's a great match. Do you know what stories you'll be reading or somebody will be reading?
Yeah, actually, the Juneau Public Library has been participating in Dolly Parton's Imagination Library program for the last 20 years, I think, something like that. So it's been a long time.
True.
Dolly Parton is a big proponent of reading and literacy programs and provides free books to kids who can't afford them. And our library is part of that program. So they're celebrating. There's some kind of anniversary year this year. And so I'm dressing up as Dolly and reading her new book, which is based on her song Code of Many Colors.
Oh, nice.
So that's just been released. I actually haven't seen the book yet, so I'm excited to check it out. And then we have one of our drag performers who is a guitarist and singer who is actually going to play Dolly's Code of Many Colors. And we're going to have a little sing-along, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's sounds incredible. I'm so glad you're doing that.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate the public library here. The staff is just incredible, and they have these great ideas and, you know, invite us to be a part of them. So we're really lucky.
Yeah, they come on the show quite a bit, and I always gush all over them because I'm such a fan of the library.
Oh, yeah. They're so awesome. So that gives us a little warm-up for the Saturday night show.
So that's Saturday afternoon?
That's tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, tomorrow afternoon.
Yep.
Okay. And where will it take place?
The Downtown Public Library.
Okay.
I guess just – I think in the kids' area.
That makes sense.
You'll see us. You can't miss us.
And what time are you starting the story?
The event starts at 5:30, and then we start at 6, and then we're over at 6:30. So it's a quick little event. So if you can make it, come on down, grab some pizza, make a craft with the librarians, and then listen to some stories and sing along.
So much fun. All right. So if you're just joining me, my guest is Gigi Monroe, mostly here to talk about the Jingle Balls Drag Stravaganza happening at Rendezvous on Christmas Eve, Saturday night, the 23rd at 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. Two shows, no repeats.
No repeats.
Cover at the door. And then if you want to warm up, you can catch the storytelling, drag queen storytelling at the library on Friday.
Tomorrow
afternoon.
Gosh. Yeah, Thursday.
Can't keep the dates in my head today. Gigi, thanks so much for being
here.
You're
welcome. Thanks, Shelley.
Ooh. them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Flashing in your window tonight. Baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Flashing in your window tonight. I can hear the music loud and clear while I'm walking down the street. See the flashing lights of Christmas cheer blinking to the beat. Where that party at? Right here, 'cause we wanna get down tonight. Oh yeah, baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Flashing in your window tonight. Baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Flashing in your window tonight. We get so excited when we see all the pretty lights. Red, yellow, purple, white, and green. Christmas delight. Where's that party at? Right here, 'cause we wanna get down tonight. Oh yeah, baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Flashing in your window tonight. Baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Baby, you got them big balls. Flashing in your window tonight. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Tlaya Kusachan Ka Kandao Lumkot. Peace, love, and joy from Sea Alaska Heritage. When you shop at Sea Alaska Heritage Store, you're supporting Southeast Alaska Native art, languages, and cultural programming all year long, making it the best place to buy Alaska Native art and gifts. Stop by the Walter Soboloff Building Tuesday through Friday 10 to 6 and Saturday 10 to 5. This message brought to you by Sea Alaska Heritage.
Support comes from the University of Alaska College Savings Plan, helping to reach educational savings goals. Save in Alaska. Study anywhere. Information at uacollegesavings.com.
It is about 27 minutes to the top of the hour, and here in the studio with me are Don Heiberger and Terry Tibbett, here to talk to us about the Juneau Reentry Coalition's Holiday Potluck. Welcome to the show, Don and Terry.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. Well, for starters, what is the Juneau Reentry Coalition? Because I, for one, am not very familiar with it.
The Juneau Reentry Coalition is really a group of community members that have gathered around the issue of ensuring that those coming out of incarceration, whether it's Lemon Creek or one of our other 12 facilities across the state, has a place to connect to so that they can come back to our community, get connected to resources, and be successful in their return to our community.
Can I add to that?
Of course you can, Terry.
I think it's also a place where community members can come together to support people coming out of incarceration. So it's a place where people who have interest in substance abuse treatment, mental health treatment, housing issues, peer support, any kind of, you know, things that can serve services or supports or just being a warm person, you know, to be supportive too. So it's both for the Reentry Coalition is for both community members and people coming out of incarceration.
How long has the coalition been around?
Can I add to that
first? Yeah, absolutely.
And you then guys I'll add, answer that one.
Add all you want.
You know, the other thing is that as we look at our community resources, we realize there are gaps and barriers to reentry. And it also gives a voice, a collective voice, if you will, to the community to ensuring that some of those barriers are resolved if we can. So that's an important piece of what we do. Now, going back to that next question, we started as a community group of really concerned citizens that was relatively small in the beginning in 2013. And from there, it's grown into a coalition. And, you know, membership is anybody who wants to come and join us, either by saying, I want your emails, or saying, I'll be involved on a particular issue. And so we have, you know, over 140 members at this point in time. And when I say members, it's not individuals always. Sometimes it's organizations.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And is there's a physical location for your office and your organization, or is it more of a wherever you are, there you are?
Yes, wherever we are, there we are. We have, you know, community meetings that are advertised as best we can. We are a grassroots effort. We have a limited budget. For those kind enough to work with us, like Greening Park, for example, they're a great set of folks, and they allow us to use their recreation room, no charge to us. So it's that kind of thing. Northern Lights Community Church has been very good to the coalition, and that's where we hold our evening and community groups.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, the Northern Lights Church is a wonderful gathering space. And sorry, I forgot what I was going to say, but how are each of you connected to the coalition?
Certainly. I am, if you will, staff, and my position is community coordinator. We got started, as I said, in 2013 as a grassroots effort. In late 2015, early 16, the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority invested in reentry coalitions, and Juneau was one of the four that was invested in, and Anchorage, Mat-Su, and Fairbanks were the others. And it allowed – they sent funds to the communities to allow coalitions to mature, and that's when I was hired on.
And he's the community coordinator. So he's kind of like our executive director in a way, kind of like that. Well, you know, he has a – so there is a steering team. So Don is the community coordinator, and then there are – how many people on the steering team? Like 12 or something?
We have 17 slots. We're looking for some folks, but like we don't have any representation for legal at this point in time, but 14 –
like
active.
14 active steering team members, and I'm a steering team member. And I'm also one of the founders. I was working with the original group in 2013. And so I'm the chair of the behavioral health work group and the chair of the outreach, the community outreach work group, and that's my role.
And what I was going to ask before was, if we need to use your services, what's the best way to contact you? How do we get in touch?
We have a website. It's www.junoreentry.org, and there's two E's in there, junoreentry.org.
Gotcha.
And is your phone number public, or you can just go to the website and you'll find all the details.
I use my cell phone, and anybody, our flyers around town, when they're out, anybody that wants more information can always call me at 321-4970.
All right. And tonight you've got a holiday potluck happening. So tell the good people all about that.
Well, we have every other month we have a community meeting, and each community meeting offers a different theme. And we've covered topics like behavioral health. You know, what does behavioral health look like for returning citizens in the community? What does peer support look like for returning citizens in the community, family support, all these different themes throughout the year. So this theme tonight is the theme of kind of holiday get-together. We're just calling it a holiday season potluck, and it's a chance for steering team members and community members just to come and just eat and socialize, basically. So it's definitely, it starts at, do you mind me telling what time and all
Please
that?
Please do.
So it starts at 6 o'clock tonight. It's it goes till 7:30. It's at Northern Light United Church or Community Church. I'm not sure the exact title downtown. It's a potluck, but we are encouraging people to come with or without a dish to share. Our steering team members are contributing a lot of the food, so there'll be plenty of food. And it's just a chance for people to get together and socialize and feel safe and feel comfortable and feel, invited and warm. It's a place to be warm, I guess, with each other.
And welcome.
And welcome. There you go.
And it sounds like you have a lot to celebrate. Was it a good year?
Yeah, we got a lot done this year.
Well, it is. One of the things that we worked very hard on is case management. And case management really is an individual that has been hired that works with somebody pre-release through post-release, again, to ensure that they're connected to housing, health care, behavioral health care, whatever that individual may need to be successful. And we got that off the ground. Part of that partnership was with the Department of Health and Social Services, and with the passage of SB 91, funds were made available. So last I heard, which was about 3 weeks ago, we had 20 individuals inside the case management program. And again, it's a volunteer. So these are folks that are coming back to our community and saying, I want to opt in. I want to be successful. And I think we have two that have almost completed the program.
That's great.
Yeah. So it's real helpful, because one of the biggest barriers to success in the past that the Department of Corrections and the community identified was that a lot of people getting out had nothing when they got out. They were just released at the door at 7 in the morning with the clothes that they had been arrested in, and they didn't have access to housing. They often didn't know where they were going to sleep that night. They maybe had bus tokens donated to them, maybe had something donated by a church group or something, but there was no real active effort, or it just wasn't possible to help people get kind of stabilized on the outside. And we know that the research shows all over the country that when you do help people get stable housing, when you do help them get access to health care and treatment, and when you do help them kind of get stable on the outside, they're way more likely to be successful and not recidivate or commit another crime. So this Alaska is moving ahead real strongly to try to really work with people to help them before they get out, so that when they do get out, that there is something for them. And it helps the community be safer. It helps the person be more successful.
It's very good work that you're both doing. Thank you. Who would you like to see at the potluck? At the potluck tonight?
Everyone. Well, we'd really like to see families, people with lived experience of incarceration and their families. That would be awesome. You know, that would be a great thing. People who are interested, also people who may not have been to our community meetings before and are listening to this, this conversation right now, this talk show. If anyone's listening and they're kind of interested to know a little bit more about what the Reentry Coalition is and why I'd sure like to help, or just like to know more, it would be good for them too.
And how about you, Don?
I think Terry covered it. I was going to say, selfishly, as a staff to the steering team, I want to see all my steering team members there.
I think that's fair. If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Don and Terry from the Juneau Reentry Coalition about tonight's holiday potluck. It starts at 6 p.m. at Northern Lights United Church. Everyone is welcome. Is there anything else you two would like to add while you're here?
We have a lot of projects on the table if people are interested. We're working on a garden project for Lemon Creek Correctional Center so that people on the inside can have meaningful activity while they're working. We have what are some other things, Roel?
Well, the steering team has decided we're going to work diligently on housing, behavioral health, and peer support, and augmenting those services.
In the community.
Peer support being very important for those that have walked the walk to help others. And if we can turn that corner and turn that into a paid position, the coalition would love to see that.
Great. It's very important work that you're both doing. Again, thank you so much. That's fantastic. And thank you both for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Of course. I hope you have a great dinner tonight.
For your holiday and year-round gift giving, visit the Discovery Southeast Bookstore and Gift Shop at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center with great gift ideas featuring local authors and artists. Winter hours are Friday through Sunday, 10 to 4. Stop in for free hot cider and stay for the shopping. Discovery Southeast members receive 10% off purchases through December, and best of all proceeds support Discovery Southeast nature programs, ensuring every child in Juneau can discover curiosity and joy in nature. For more information, visit discoverysoutheast.org.
You're tuned in to A Juneau Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and with me is Jeffra from Eagle Crest here to give us our Wednesday weekly Eagle Crest update. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
It snowed today.
I know. We're going in the right direction, so I'm really excited today.
Well, tell us all about what Eagle Crest has going on this week.
Well, we're heading into our holiday season. So starting on Friday, December 22nd, we will be open daily through, I believe it's Monday, January 8th, with the exception of Christmas Day. So we'll be closed Christmas Day, but starting Friday, we're open daily for the holidays, and the snow bus will operate. So we'll get that bus schedule up on our website.
What's the snow bus?
Snow bus is we have a partnership with First Student, and they run the snow bus up to the mountain weekends and holidays, and they do it every day that the schools are out of break. And so we're going to start that snow bus running on Friday. So it stops a variety of places around town, and it's $5 each way, or you can buy a bus pass for $79. So it's a great way to get up to the mountain, enjoy the mountain, and not have to drive.
Where does the bus stop?
It stops a variety of places around town.
Downtown or valley?
Downtown, valley, starts in the valley, heads downtown, heads over to Douglas, and then heads up to the mountain.
Wow.
Then it leaves the mountain at 3:30 every day and comes back down and stops in those places and drops everybody off.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I bet that bus is just full of gear.
So it's a great partnership. We've done this for many years with First Student, and we really appreciate their ongoing support of Eagle Crest, and just encourage everyone to know that if you don't want to drive your car up there, you do have options. So you can find that bus schedule. We'll have it posted on our website starting tomorrow. But yeah, we are headed into the holidays, so we're pretty excited.
Oh, one more question about the bus. Is the pass good for a whole year?
Yeah, you can buy a season pass for the entire season. So that is $79. Or if you just want to ride it up one day and back down the other, you know, it's $5 each way. So,
Okay, cool.
We're pretty flexible with that. And it's just, it's a great option.
Now on to the other fun stuff.
Oh, yeah, we've got
party.
Lots coming on because of the holidays. So on Saturday, we have our Ugly Sweater Day. So this is the first time we've ever done this. So we're really excited. So if you come up to the mountain and wear your ugly sweater, stop off at the ticket counter. If you have a season pass, you get a free French fry. So you get a coupon for a free French fry to be used that day. And if you don't have a season pass and just looking for a lift ticket, you get a half off of the Porcupine lift ticket. So that's kind of a fun way to kind of start the holiday weekend. So you can wear your ugly sweater up there and
Get a discount.
Get a discount, yeah. So we're pretty excited about
that. That's a great idea.
Yeah. So just a reminder, you do have to stop off at the ticket window and see Justin or Dylan and show them your ugly sweater.
No, ugly is a subjective term.
It is. It is. So, you know, it's just we're going to let you decide what you deem to be an ugly sweater. Our staff is, if you tell them it's ugly, unless it's just like a plain brown sweater, you're probably going to be all right.
That's very diplomatic.
And then on Sunday, December 24th, we do have our annual Christmas Eve celebration on the mountain. So this is a great afternoon, early evening on the mountain. It's a longstanding tradition. I've been here 25 years, and it was longstanding when I got here. So it's a great time on the mountain. We're going to have arts and crafts and story time. Starting around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we'll have music, a photo booth, cookies, and cider. We'll do a torchlight parade on the Porcupine Chair. And then at 4:30, we have a visit from Santa Claus.
What?
Yes, I know. So there, we do have a meadow at the top of the Porcupine Chair that has blueberries that his reindeer love. So he parks his sleigh up at the top of in this meadow. It's a secret meadow. And then comes down on a ski patrol sleigh and brings all the gifts for the good little girls and boys.
Oh, how magical.
It is very fun. It is one of our ultimate favorite events of the season. If you do want to participate, we have the Snow Sports School Elves help Santa because, of course, he's very busy this time of year.
He needs lots of helpers.
He does. So you can find the registration form online at skijuno.com. It's $8 for a gift. Turn that form in. Give him a call tomorrow morning. Get your child registered, and Santa will have a gift for your child on Sunday, December 24th. And you can find the whole schedule and all the information at skijuno.com. But it's great for families, whether you're skiers or snowboarders, or just kind of want to know what's Eagle Crest all about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think it's a lovely – I've never been, but I've seen pictures. The Torchlight Parade looks like it's really something. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yep,
Paint us a picture.
So we'll be doing just the Torchlight Parade just on Porcupine, and we'll determine how the conditions are. Our plan is that it'll be a kids' Torchlight Parade. So we have glow sticks, and the kids get to participate, and they light the way down Muskeg so that Santa can know where to go.
Sounds like it's a sight not to be missed.
Yes, yes. And then just a reminder, we will be closed on Christmas Day, on Monday, Christmas Day, to allow our employees to spend time with their friends and family. So just a reminder for that. But
that's great. But you're open on New Year's?
We are open on New Year's. And
every other
starting
day.
On Friday, we're open every day except for Christmas Day.
Well, that's all great news. I like it when you come with good news, Jeffra.
Yes, yes. And, you know, we just want to just wish everybody a very happy Merry Christmas and happy holidays. And you can find everything Eagle Crest at skijuno.com. And right now we're running our 12 days of Eagle Crest Christmas on our website and Instagram. And yesterday we had 7 ski patrollers. So check out our website and see what day 6 is today or day 8 is today.
What was day six?
Day six was six snowboarders in the snow.
I love it. Well, thanks, as always, for being here, and thanks for all the great information. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you. You too.
And I'll see you next week.
The weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since there's no place to go, let us know, let us know, let us know. It doesn't show signs of stopping, then I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let us know, let us know, let us know. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I ain't going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying, but my dear, we're still goodbying. And as long as you love me so, let us know, 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 no, no, no. But I brought some corn for popping. The lights go in a low. Let us know, let us know, let it snow. Let us know, let us know, let us know, let us know, let us know.
You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. We're just about to wrap up the show here. I do have one announcement from Alaska Electric Light and Power Company, a.k.a. AELP. Don't worry, it's good news. AELP will be hosting an open house and cookie extravaganza Thursday, that's solstice, tomorrow, December 21st, 3 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. This is a community event to help celebrate the holiday season and the community that they are honored to serve as they kick off their upcoming 125th anniversary year. It's an event for all ages. There will be a cookie decorating station for children and adults and a coloring sheet raffle with prizes for the kids. Come and meet the AELP staff and enjoy warm cocoa, cider, and cookies for all. That's tomorrow, December 31st, 3 p.m., and that will be at their AELP office in Lemon Creek, 5601 Tonsgaard Court. Join us tomorrow on a Juno Afternoon. We're going to have some cast members of the Perseverance Theater's production of Steel Magnolias, and we'll also hear from Nancy DeCherney with Arts Up. That's tomorrow live at 3 on KTOO. I'm sure we'll have more to offer as well. And tomorrow night at 7 p.m., we'll have a broadcast of the most recent Juno World Affairs Council. It was about the topic was health of the oceans. Jeff Brown is the producer of the show. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. Until tomorrow, this has been a Juno Afternoon. Have a great Juno evening.